Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
And good morning to you, God. And a great morning it is. I got the wrong thing. Anyway, so I had about three sermons going about this, and I've chosen one. And just so you know, I might sneak into one of the other ones. And if I do, please bear with me, just in case you wanted to know. So what does justice mean to you? What is the difference between our concept of justice and God's justice? Today's gospel reading feels like it was written just for me, and perhaps just for St. Francis. Jesus told his disciples a parable about their need to pray always and not lose heart. That's not an easy thing to do when things don't happen the way and the time that we want them to happen. And it's kind of easy, I think, when everything is going well or going okay. The widow in today's parable wanted justice. We don't know what happened or what she needed, but it was justice, it was court justice from a judge. And she wasn't going to stop asking for it. She wasn't going to compromise her request for it. She persevered. And the judge decides to give her what she wants, not because he thinks it's the right thing to do, but because he was tired of her bugging him. He gave her justice because he didn't want anything to do with her. He was done with her. He did it for himself. Remember, he doesn't have fear or respect for anyone. He did it for himself. He doesn't have fear or respect for God. He doesn't have any respect for the widow. He did it for himself. It suits him. So, this brought up the question for me, does justice have to be fair? Regardless of what the judge's motive was, the widow got what she wanted, and the judge got something out of it as well. They both got what they needed, so to speak. And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge is saying." And then Jesus offers the question, "And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them?" And then Jesus answers his own question. "I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them." Wait upon the Lord. Then with this last question, Jesus brings it home, the last question in the passage. Jesus brings it home, so to speak. "And yet when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Whew. That's our question to answer. When Jesus comes, will we stand before him in a place of faith, a place of doubt, a place of fear? How do we answer this question? I'm actually not sure. But it's a quest that I intend to engage in. Will we try to walk in faith, trusting that God will give us the justice that we seek from him? Is God a just judge? Of course he is. Sometimes we allow our doubt to destroy or interfere with our faith. And those in-between times when it feels like our faith has a rock tied around it and is cast into the ocean, do we sink? Does our faith disappear? Or do we trust that God knows how justice will be served, that against the weight of the rock, against the tide of the ocean that is pulling us away and sinking us, can we have the faith to cast off the rock and swim against the tide to safety? No matter what, God will be with you. So as I consider all these ideas that I keep hearing from you all and from all kinds of different folk who have an interest in St. Francis, I keep hearing about the idea of our garden. That's something, a discussion we have not left behind. We've talked about a lot of things, but the garden and the prayer seems to be the focus of what it is that God is calling us to do here. A place to come and just be with Jesus. What if, instead of being a church, there's a place that happens to have a garden where people can find peace and prayer? What if we were a garden, a place of peace and prayer? And by the way, we also have church. What can we imagine that will empower us to be the place where people come to see Jesus? What would it be like to have a garden, maybe with a labyrinth? I know that's been a discussion of the past. Maybe in a greenhouse. This was a suggestion made to me. A greenhouse that was open all the time, safe from the elements. Oh, and all of you, by the way, we worship the Lord every Sunday at 10 o'clock, and all are welcome. There are many things that could happen here in this place. We need to wait on the Lord. We need to think about and ask the question, what is it that has kept St. Francis from growing? And it seems like that, and I say this about myself, that when I'm looking for an idea or a solution, I always look out there for the answer instead of looking in here to the Spirit. That's where the answers are. None of these housing developments is going to make our church grow. Direct mailings, things on the doorknob, me going house to house, you going house to house. We've tried some of them. That's not what's going to make St. Francis grow. And none of these things feel fair. It's not fair that all these people are living there and they don't come over here. Don't they know we need them? Are we so protective? Am I so protective that I have little faith to reimagine something radically different in my life? Something radically different here at St. Francis. How can we be the place that in the middle of all the developments that are coming up around us, can we be the place where things make sense? Well, you know, my brothers, I have to speak about my brothers sometimes. Their word the other day was surrender. Surrender, let go of pride, ambition, faults, fears, and self-sufficiency. That may sound impossible, especially when life overwhelms us. But Jesus, crucified, risen, and ascended, bears all our weight, indeed, all of creation. Surrender is trusting Jesus with everything. Can we look for the good in the darkest closets of war, poverty, and oppression? Can we look for good in the scriptures that trouble us? Can we look for good in our struggle to reimagine St. Francis or reimagine ourselves as Christians, as disciples of Christ? Can we look for the good in all things and not limit God by believing that our own ideas are the good ones? God might just have something better and greater if we listen. Surrender. We need to surrender to the plan of God. Whatever that is, knowing that we can trust Jesus with everything. Today we have an honored guest, and Shirley is here to talk with us about how she...
I just look behind me.
Oh. It's okay. So, we don't want to limit God, do we? I think, this is a great idea. What do you think, God? And he's like, I don't think so. But sometimes I still try it, And it takes me a couple of times to get taken down a notch or two to realize that I need to stop and depending on myself and start and depend on Jesus. So, in our lives, let's surrender to the plan of God. Whatever that knowing is, know that we can trust Jesus in everything. We are walking a journey of faith and growth. And I'm not going to let you do it again. This wonderful woman is going to walk with us. The diocese is going to walk with us. We are not alone. God has a plan for each of us. God has a plan for this place. So may we live into both. May we live into what it is God is calling each of us to do. And may we live into the miracle of what will happen when we go forth into the idea that God gives us about this place. Timothy, in the reading from Timothy, he says, people will not put up sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. Does that sound familiar in our world today? As for you, be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and carry out your ministry fully. Amen.